Hello and welcome to this playoff special edition of the Sports Unite podcast. We are diving into the NHL playoffs a little bit before everything is decided, but we just couldn't wait. We're very excited. So much to talk about in the hockey world. We have Sean joining us today. Thank you so much, doing double duty with junior hockey.
Yeah, it's always good to be here, bud. And I will apologize there. The junior hockey game is going to the third period. If my team wins, I might get a little rowdy. I do apologize to everybody.
Also, fresh off the field, Alan coming to us hot, ready to go. How's it going?
Going good. Just prepping up for summer football. So the summer season's just around the corner.
And with summer coming, that means playoff hockey. And back once again, the parental leave is over. The prodigal son has returned. We could not do this episode without our resident Leaf fan. Welcome back to the podcast, Alvaro.
Hey, thanks for having me back. Oh, I gotta go, baby. No, I'm joking. Just messing. it's been a while. Very busy with baby number one and back on the grind, though. Back to being bitter about the Leafs, just as my usual.
Well, there's lots to get over to before we jump into the matchups and potential matchups. Some other news broke this week that we are getting a new team from an old team from a city that doesn't know what to do with hockey to owners that don't really care with throwing out retired banners and garbages. That is the big gaping hole that the Arizona Coyotes have left in the NHL with their official move to Utah. What are your feelings about this? How do you feel? What are some name suggestions? We, it's too easy to go to the Utah Mormons. So, what are your feelings with this? How do you feel for Coyotes fans or hockey fans of Arizona? And why do they really like, how much money does Bettman have in that area that he needs to push hockey?
I'll go first, if you guys don't mind. I will start out by saying this is 14 years overdue, 14, 15 years overdue. I don't know how many of you guys remember back in 2009. All of a sudden, a rumor came, a news broke out of nowhere. Coyotes were in Chapter 11 bankruptcy. Now, previous to that, with relocation, I'll give the NHL credit for the most part, a lot of their franchises have been stable. I'll give them that. But you remember back in 95 and 96 when Canada lost two franchises, the Quebec Nordiques, in 95, though Colorado benefited and had success there. I'll give that. But the Winnipeg Jets, the original Winnipeg Jets, left in 96 to Arizona. And truthfully, I mean, they were trying a new market where it was kind of the same situation where it is now. Ownership could not maintain the funds required to run the hockey team in Winnipeg, and they needed a new arena. So, buyer comes out, moves them. So, NHL expanded a little bit. Columbus, Minnesota got going there. And then the one relocation that happened after, the Winnipeg Jets came back via the Atlanta Thrashers. And truthfully, hockey in Winnipeg is back where it belongs. And as a fan, as a Canadian, I will certainly say, didn't seem like Bettman was too happy with that move, because you could kind of tell that. And that was another one he was trying to get going with Atlanta, of trying to find local ownership. So, because no local ownership wanted to step up that franchise, it had to move. Now, unfortunately, Bettman sunk everything he had into Arizona. His whole thing, because Arizona was the first to be on the chopping block, he is putting it as much on life support as he can 13, 14 years on life support, too long. Should have pulled the plug a while ago. The signs were there that things were not improving. Yes, you've got Austin Matthews and Matthew Knives. Congratulations. You get two NHL caliber players out there. But what have you had since? You look at how long Arizona's been around since the relocation from Winnipeg. They have just as many head coaches and I'm pretty sure owners as they have playoff appearances. So really, it's a wasteland there where careers go to die. They had a nice arena, I will give them that. But as nice things, you got to pay your bills. The ownerships there were not paying their bills. And the fact that Arizona and this ownership group has a chance to rectify the Coyotes 2.0 as long as they meet a certain window. That I have an issue with. Because if you can't pay your bills, why should you be the first in line for an expansion team? So for Salt Lake, and I'll wrap this up here with Salt Lake, Utah, a fairly good sports market, Jazz there. I mean, you kind of. I feel like things will work a little more there. And Salt Lake was on to be on the radar for expansion. So I think it's a good new state to try, see how it goes there. And as for the name, maybe just take the ECHL name Utah Grizzlies if they can't come up with anything else. There is a hockey team there. So I don't know what other Utah name you guys can come up with. So I'll just go easy with the Utah Grizzlies.
Yeah, I think that's all very well said and a lot of fair points. What I would add is like it's not just a failure on almost every level. Even if you're gracious enough to say, oh, well, one of the top NHLers came out of there. Yeah, but he's also from California. He just grew up in Arizona. Not really the point and kind of nitpicky, but it's you're right. Two players in what, 26, 27 years? I'm grateful because of my allegiance, but I don't think that's enough as a Canadian to say that, oh, that justifies an entire era wasted of NHL worthy, NHL caliber hockey. Not even mentioning the last couple of seasons where they've been playing in front of a handful of people. And the seasons prior that they also played in front of a handful of people, but had more capacity to actually invite more if they were interested. It's ownership after ownership that proved that they were inept, and their current ownership or their most recent one is basically getting a gimme, a get it a jail free card, 5 years to develop an arena, two cities, Glendale and Tempe, that didn't want them to come back. One was the town and the other one was the actual city itself. Didn't pay their bills at the arena, didn't pay their taxes. This is low-hanging fruit for any sort of corporate entity that should be able to have the administration in place to cover all of those sort of logistics, and they failed at every turn, and they're gifted for their failure. It's without even going into the idea of, oh, Canada deserves another team. 100% we do. And I wish I would have worn my Nordiques hat. I probably should have just in that spirit. I went with Expos. I don't know, Quebec teams that don't exist anymore. But it's a little sad that Canadians get a lot of that, like, oh, you're just gatekeeping hockey. I mean, what choice do we have when we're basically dismissed and the second thought or third thought from the NHL brass at almost every turn? It's a lot of frustration. I'm really, really, really annoyed that even for Houston, for example, they should have been at the top of the list for expansion. They get bumped down. It's a slap in the face to like literally every other potential market or market that could have an arena already, like in Quebec, or an ownership group that's ready to actually show that they have what it takes to own an NHL franchise properly. Properly. That's the point. Muruelo is not a good owner. It's pretty clear as day to me. But hey, what do I know? I'm just a stinking Leafs fan.
Yeah, I don't have too much more to besides what you guys said. But I will say there's a few other players that you might know that came out of Arizona in the last 25 years since they've been there. The Tkachuk brothers were born there, and
Okay.
Tage Thompson was also born there. So there's been a few hockey players that have come out of Arizona, but at the end of the day, not as many as like even California, for example.
Yeah.
So I don't have too much more to add on the Arizona situation, but as opposed to a name for the new Utah team, the podcast manager has one that she thinks would be very fitting, and I will turn the floor over to her.
Hello, resident podcast manager here. I would like to point out that Utah's state fruit is cherries. Therefore, I'm putting forward the notion of Utah cherries, and therefore we can call them the cherry pickers. Good night.
She's been waiting all night to say that, so there we have it. We have their team name, the Utah Cherries.
The
I
Utah
can already
Cherries,
see the jersey.
right? It paints a pretty picture. We also learned that they also have a state constellation, which, why not? Taxpayer money, just
Okay.
it's America. But we also had, if they can't come up with a team, this the Utah hockey team for a year until they can properly develop.
The UHC, Utah Hockey Club.
Yeah, there you go. It looks weird when you just have all the logos and what the NHL released today, and then you have Utah. For a state that's not known for a lot of drinking or partying, because they had to get special exemption for when the Jazz played basketball. Michael Jordan famously had his flu game in Utah, but they had to order in food because everything else was closed because it was past 7 o'clock. So it's going to be an interesting view. The owners are the Smith Entertainment Group, who own the Jazz. They're going to play out of the Delta Center. They say names and colors coming soon, but who knows? They made it a very good point that the Coyotes franchise, and all its history and all that, is staying behind, as they said. Because they still think that it's going to work. But as we pointed out, Arizona couldn't pay its bills. They couldn't even pay their hotel bills this year. All of the hotels had to come together and essentially make them pay in a check form, like right away, as they learned that this team was no longer existing. They didn't want to lose out on money. So all of those road games, famously, they should have known with how good the Coyotes were at paying bills. They could not pay their road bills. One fun stat that has come out of this is, for the second straight time, a player has made his NHL debut in the team's final game before they move to a new city. So in 2011, Carl Klingberg made his debut with the Thrashers. And last night, Aku Ratti made his debut with the Coyotes as they took to the ice for the final time. And as I've kind of said, there's a video going on where I'm not sure, an old arena worker or someone who had affiliation with the old arena before they moved to Mullet. They were taking everything down, and they had Shane Doan's retired jersey banner. And the guy said in the video, he asked what they're going to do with it, and they said, he replied that they're probably going to throw it out. And he said, well, let me take it. And he has reunited it with Shane Doan in a video online. But just if that's not the example of what this trash fire has been, it is the most expensive experiment I think any sports league has ever done, at least in North America. And the European model is nowhere near the North American model. So I'm pretty sure it's safe to say this has been a giant failure. And yet, just like Atlanta, they want to go back. They just
Yeah.
I'm at a loss. for a name, it's going to be hard to compete. I mean, Vegas Golden Knights, like that's pretty, it's a pretty fun one, and they've turned it into something. The Kraken just like is just, they hit it out of the park. So
So obvious, right? And it's the
yeah.
obvious choice.
When it's not obvious like this, that's when your imagination goes wild. But just, we're going to get so many jersey concepts in the next few days into weeks, from the funny ones like the Utah Mormons or the
Missionaries.
missionary. Oh, see, they just write themselves. But then you get fun ideas like the Cherries. The Miners was another one. Just trying to, like, Utah has not been able to name its own professional hockey team because the Utah Jazz. Do you think there's jazz in a Mormon state like Utah? No, music, no, that's bad. Because the Jazz relocated from New Orleans and they kept the name. So they've never had an opportunity to name a pro team themselves. So hopefully they take it seriously, but I'm not sure.
I mean, it'll be their first big decision, and I already have more confidence in them making a big decision pretty well than I did with anything that Arizona did, with the exception of their logo. They had a great logo. The
That
Coyotes.
is fair. Yeah. If
That
you
is fair.
like retro jerseys or just fun jerseys, before they disappear or cost thousands of dollars, get yourself a Kachina jersey. They're pretty
I'll just
stylish.
wait for the owners of the franchise to throw them out in the trash and go pick one up.
We can all become a garbage picker when it's for the right
Yeah.
deal, so.
Just ridiculous.
Let us know what
So
you think on social media about this, or name suggestions, even too.
I want to see someone come up with a logo for the missionaries. Just saying.
I would like to see, I remember somebody who's not here tonight mentioning that there is an ownership in Quebec interested, and I'm surprised that they haven't been known. Because they have a nice arena there with the Videotron Center, I think it is.
Yeah, so it's the owners of
And
Videotron, Quebecor company.
so you have a nice arena there, an NHL state-of-the-art arena. Why not go to that and reignite the Battle of Quebec? You want to talk, what sells hockey the most? Rivalries. And the return of the Battle of Quebec would just be through the roof.
I'll just say the one reason that's stopping that, as much as I would love it, I'm all for it. Money. The Canadian dollar versus the US dollar is awful. So they will not go to Quebec anytime soon. Unfortunately. I mean, I want the Nordiques back. It's just
It's
money
always going to
speaks.
come down to money, and I always feel like the US dollar is always, it's always seemed like it's been fairly stronger.
Pretty well in our lifetime. That's always been the case. But like really when it comes down to it, money didn't seem to matter when they could only sell a maximum 5,000 tickets. It's just mind-boggling that you would think, sure, Quebec is a much smaller market. Most people don't know Phoenix is actually a really, really big city. It like almost 6 million people, if I remember correctly. It's pretty large. Quebec City's obviously nowhere near that. But the province, and this is to their point, the Gary Bettman and his whole staff, they don't want to cannibalize the fandom of a franchise. So in reality, the Montreal Canadiens are actually lobbying against the Quebec Nordiques coming back. And that's a pretty strong lobby group against an additional team in Canada. Their idea is, oh, well, you're going to cannibalize the fandom, turn them against each other, as if that doesn't actually provoke more interest from people that aren't currently fans, right? If anything, there is a need for more fandom in Canada because the more and more these generations advance, the less they're actually interested in pro sports in general, but in Canada, hockey in particular. Doesn't help that the gateway into the sport from a player level is mostly insurmountable for most families.
That I will agree with. I will also just basically add in, like, the biggest thing too is it's all comes down to corporate dollars, because I know that the initial with the Coyotes coming out of bankruptcy was BlackBerry was wanting to bring the team to Hamilton. I mean, they had the season ticket drive, everything. Yes, they went against policies and that, and I understand that. And I know Hamilton is going to be very bitter about that. And trust me, I understand where you're coming from. But at the same time, you still have to kind of do things the right way. And that's unfortunately what happened was they like the it was the whole point of getting a seventh team in Canada at the time. Because we
That was
had
Jim
six
Balsillie's group.
with Jim Balsillie's group, yes. They wanted that seventh team. And even though they didn't get it, it paved the way for Winnipeg. And Winnipeg's a small market, yes. And yes, this year they've had a few concerns with their season ticket stuff, but considering for their longevity of 12 years since they relocated from Atlanta and they had sellout after sellout after sellout outside of the pandemic because nobody was going anywhere to that, you still had a great hockey market there. And it was about time that they got that back. So with Arizona, it's a wait and see. Maybe you generate hopefully a little interest in the future, but you got to go to markets where hockey does matter. You can't go to always these retirement markets. You have two teams in Florida. And you want to talk about geographical stuff? I'll argue right now. Look up the distance between the Prudential Center and Madison Square Gardens. That's a 30-minute drive through basically a state line. 30 minutes. So don't give me this, well, it'll eat into the Toronto market. It'll eat into the Buffalo market. Like Southwestern Ontario can support a second team technically. Quebec
Toronto
can
could
support
support a
a
second
second team.
team.
I'm just going to jump in here, Alan, because you mentioned the Sabres. If there was a team in Hamilton, it would have to be the Sabres because of the Sabres would lose the Canadian support. The main reason why the Sabres can exist is the amount of Canadians that are season ticket holders. Almost
Oh, for sure.
50% of their season ticket holders are Canadians. So you go to Hamilton, you don't have to make that drive.
Yeah.
But the
I
tickets will
think,
still cost more.
yeah.
They would,
I
yes.
think they were, for Arizona, anyways, like the amount of at least Western Canadians go down, like they used to own homes because nobody owns homes anymore, but they used to have homes in Arizona and that was their winter, just like in Quebec and Ontario, they go down to Florida. So looking at the population, so the fact that the metropolitan area of Phoenix, which includes Phoenix, Arizona, the city, which looks like it's a almost like a circle city, but it's got these weird boundaries because Glendale is right to the left and Scottsdale is right to the right outside the Phoenix boundaries. And then there's Mesa and Buckeye. But the metropolitan area is 4.85 million. If you cannot draw a crowd from 5 million people, which the state of Arizona has 7 point something. So when like over 50% of your population is in a metropolitan area that close and you can't make something work with fans, then that like where you don't have to drive, you're not getting people from, the amount of people that come from Fort McMurray, which is a 5 6 hour drive to see the Oilers play, or Northwest Territories, that's their team. How many people go to away Leaf games because it's cheaper to see them there than it is in Toronto or easier to get tickets. We want to talk about rivalry. We were talking before. This playoff format has run its course. It's not creating new rivals. People are getting tired of the same first round matchups because it's not creating rivalries. It's flare ups, but it's not that organic rivalry that we were used to. How many times Ottawa Toronto. It just worked out that way, and you know both teams wanted it because they wanted to prove there was that rivalry. When it comes up naturally, that is a much better rivalry. And this playoff format is not. So getting those, Montreal Quebec rivalries again, the Florida Tampa, it's finally starting to be something where for decades it wasn't.
Because neither was good.
Yeah,
It was
so
more
like,
Florida wasn't good.
yeah, Florida wasn't good, and yeah, it's just, yeah, the New Jersey Rangers, 30 minutes away, have they, like, other than being like, oh, I don't like you, you're in New Jersey, like, it's not more, it's no more than just a state versus state rivalry. It's not a team rivalry. Like, they hate each other, but the Rangers hate the Islanders too. Like, it's not an organic, and rivalries also get created in the playoffs. And when you play the same team over and over again, as fans, you get tired of it. I'm not even a fan of the Oilers or LA or Vegas, which we'll talk about it, but they're gonna play one or the other again, and I'm like, okay. It's
Feels
the
like a
same
rerun,
record. It's a
right?
rerun. It's not a rivalry. It's so they gotta. I don't know who.
It's
Obviously, they want Colorado to be a rival right away because they're state mates. But like,
can't just force it, right? That's what it feels like when it's a rivalry that's existing for with some longevity. So you could say Toronto Boston is a rivalry. Original six teams. You can't erase that history. That's one thing. So it's an organic rivalry, and now the playoff structure has kind of fed into that. But you can't tell me with any sort of conviction that Toronto and Tampa Bay would be a natural rival. The only way I see that is because now they both wear blue and white. But that hasn't been the truth for the existence, majority of the existence of the Tampa Bay Lightning. So, really, is there anything there? Not of substance, right? Montreal, Quebec, that's an obvious one. And Quebec is a large enough province that can support both teams because they actually give a shit about hockey. More
I
than
see that.
most Canadians, I would even say. I know that sounds crazy. We're all Ontario folk here, but they're really passionate about it. They have a reason to be pissed.
All right, friends,
And
are we
even
ready? Are we ready for population roundup? So, as of 2017, because we're weird with census and it takes years, just as the new census is happening for the old census data to come out. So, 2017 data is what I have. Quebec City has a population of 542,000 and change, but they also have little outshoots like Saint-Gabriel de Valcartier and Shannon and Le Catherine de la Jacques-Cartier and Pointe-Rouge and Levis and Laval. And, it's a short,
Trois-Rivières is not
what?
that far.
Exactly. Rimouski, Rivière-du-Loup. You get the folks in Edmonton, just into New Brunswick.
Sherbrooke represent.
Sherbrooke, of course. So you're going to have a big population. What do we want to guess without looking up the population of Salt Lake City?
Okay, I'm pretty sure the population of the city itself is like 250,000. But if I'm not mistaken, the metro is closer to 2 million. I remember seeing this somewhere when they were talking about going to Salt
Okay.
Lake.
That's such a huge difference in like that's 10% live in the city itself. I
I
guess
know,
that's just
I know.
how
Yeah, it's so crazy.
American cities are also drawn very differently.
Yeah.
They don't amalgamate as much, I suppose. But 2 million non-hockey fans versus
Well,
500,000. You can't say they're all hockey fans, but I mean, come on. A good chunk of them are, and that's only including Quebec proper. I
I
don't
just
know.
think
It
Salt Lake's more of a hockey market, or at least screams more of a hockey market than Phoenix does.
I
On
will
paper,
agree with
yeah.
that. Yeah. Now maybe
So.
not so much. The Arizona fans do exist, and that's the one thing I don't want to like besmirch any fandom. They have also every reason to be pissed because they were lied to at every turn.
Oh, 100%, 100%.
For
The
sure.
fans that were
And
crying last night and all that, you feel bad for them.
100%.
I will
And all
also
those.
add in, I'll just also add in, like, I will say there is a fan market there, yes, but Unfortunately, what drives these NHL franchises? Corporate sponsorships. Where are these corporate people coming from? The problem is you have such nice weather in Arizona. Do the corporate people want to go to a hockey game indoors in a cold arena, or do they want to stay out later on a nice warm golf course?
Yeah, the most popular outside of the majors tournament in golf is the Waste Management Open, aka the Phoenix Open. That's also too because it's a different atmosphere. It's a different tournament than all the others, but it has a cult following that brings in millions of people over that weekend to go to the Waste Management Open, and sponsors lined up. Waste Management has been the sponsor of that thing forever because it is hand over fist getting them free capacity and the amount of people that go every year. And everyone knows who Waste Management is, whether they have seen a garbage truck or not, but they know the company. So
Man, what a hell of a name for a golfing event.
for
Like,
golf.
I get the branding thing. Of course, you want to have your brand, but Waste Management Open, yikes.
So yeah, you're very, very close, Sean. Salt Lake City proper has 204,000. The Provo, Utah, which is, if you look at a map of it, it all kind of just connects. We could just call it one big city because it's all been developed. Looking at Google Earth, it just there's one big highway that takes you all down. But yeah, Salt Lake City, the city is like weirdly mapped out. It very, very strange. Because I would can take it all the way down until there's a little bit of a break before going down to Provo, where BYU University, what up, Mormons? Those Instagram videos are great, but the state itself of Utah is 3.3 million people, and Salt Lake County has 1.18 million people. So just about 50% of Utah's population is within this area. So they're not going to be shy on new eyeballs. Now, the last question is, how much leeway, because I know nothing of sports fans in Utah, but how much leeway are they going to give them for not being good? How much time do they give them before they give up?
Well, luckily they're actually not that bad, right? As a roster, they're up and coming. Obviously, they didn't make the playoffs. They're not in contention, but they're also not like empty cupboards either. Would you say this is like comparable to, obviously not comparable to like Las Vegas expansion, but maybe more so comparable with the Kraken? Probably even better prospects.
I was going to say it's more comparable from when the Thrashers moved from Atlanta to Winnipeg. There was a
Fair.
young roster there.
Yeah.
And, the first year, Winnipeg had the best, one of the better home ice records in the NHL. The problem came, their travel schedule was awful because they were playing constantly in a different time zone, still playing in the Eastern Conference. So their road record wasn't that great. But they made up for it at home. So a young roster, if the fans come out and support this team in Utah, like it seems like they want to, there's clearly got to be some interest there, or else this ownership group wouldn't be making this big investment. You have to think that there is going to be some interest. It'll be interesting to see what the home game atmosphere is like. But I would say there's probably going to be, I'd say about a 2 year window, young team develop a home ice advantage. And then, okay, now you got to show us you're actually good.
Yeah, after the honeymoon period ends.
Yeah, so a 2 year honeymoon
Yeah.
period.
Yeah.
See, the roster on paper, I think it's easy to get behind. You know what you have in a lot of these guys. I'm just ultimately curious how many of them truly want to go to Utah. Some of those guys signed to play in Arizona. Are they going to want to move, or are they going to want to be traded? So
Well,
that can
also too,
ultimately.
your front office too, the people behind the scenes that do the travel, that book the hotels, that deal with player relations when someone gets traded. Like, from my understanding, all those people are staying in Arizona. Like, they brought them on the ice as a goodbye for a reason. I don't know how many of them are even going to be offered, because it's a whole new ownership group. How many of them are going to be offered jobs, or if they are offered, how many of them are going to want to pick up their family and move to Utah? Of like, so it's a whole, like the NHL said, Arizona is being left behind. It's a whole new kind of operation. And we see how if you skimp or you don't do a good job at hiring the behind the scenes and the office people, how that impacts the day to day, and it impacts the players, and your team suffers.
And you get 13-year playoff droughts.
Oh, geez, I was talking about Ottawa, but sure, yeah. If you want to, if it fits for Buffalo too, then just.
I was just gonna add in, when the Thrashers franchise moved to become the Winnipeg Jets. So, around the time of the Memorial Cup tournament, the GM at the time for the Atlanta team was asked about the rumors and what his plans were, and he straight out came out and said, "I'm not moving with the team." So ultimately, that opened up a front office position for Kevin Cheveldayoff. And then Kevin Cheveldayoff decided to go in a different coaching direction too. So outside of the players who have guaranteed really contracts, I don't know how many years are left on the coaching staff's contract, but the front office people, they could just be given a severance pay too and been like, okay, we're moving in a new direction. A lot of those other people that just work the behind the scenes stuff that aren't actually affiliated with the NHL contract stuff, they can be let go, no problem. And a lot of them, I'm sure, are okay with it because it's just like they don't have to move. But then for some of them too, the other flip side to that is, well, there goes 41 events of paycheck. So now you got to find another job.
Yeah, and
Yeah,
it's not like there's
hundreds of
a
jobs
team
are
coming
out.
in. It's you basically have to look in a different industry for the most part, right? It's not like you're gonna have just a new franchise of a different sport that's gonna fill in that gap.
And
And then
that's
even
what's
that's hoping
different.
that they were getting paid in the first place, right? Like there's no confidence there either.
Yeah, for sure. And
They're
that's the difference
scouts, they're
between
all of that. All of these guys, like they have to either come up with a new roster of scouts, all of the hockey ops guys, or bring them along. And if even half of them want to go, I'd be shocked. Sorry,
the
Justin.
hockey operations department. I'm sure a lot of those guys, if there's the option for them to move, they will move, because ultimately they're in it for the hockey. But the non-hockey side, so like the ticketing side, all the business side of people, it's basically that's where a lot of those changes are going to come.
Oh, I think I saw the non-hockey sides. Everything's being left in Arizona. It's just strictly the hockey operations that are moving to Utah.
But of those, how many are actually going to want to do the move? In the same way
Exactly.
that the GM from Atlanta didn't want to do the move, and that he decided he's not going to bring the coach along. Like how there's going to be disruption there, no matter which way it shakes out, to a certain degree, right? And that's going to have an impact on the on-ice product eventually. It might not be this year. It might be a couple of years down when you start to see that.
So the Winnipeg team, they made the playoffs 3 years after the relocation. So 2012, 2013, 2014, they missed. 2015, they made it. So sorry, fourth year. So in the beginning, it allowed that honeymoon phase, a new coaching staff come in, new general manager. I think if you're coming in as a new GM, you look at this roster, you've got Matt Dumba, Sean Durzi. You've got some young talent there, Clayton Keller. You've got
Keller's
those
amazing.
guys there. You can tw you more you've got a good core. You just got to tweak the depth around it, which you do every off season anyway.
It's going to be an interesting time. We're entering into uncharted waters. But one area we are not entering into uncharted waters is the warm weather means that it's playoff hockey time. Now, for some reason, the NHL decided that this scheduling method was a good idea, where we have one half of our playoff bracket and the other half will ultimately be decided tonight, although the teams that are in already know they're in. It's just positioning and who's playing who at this point. But still, as a fan, it's very, very annoying. And as teams, if you're playing tonight, like Edmonton is playing at home on, well, we think maybe Saturday or Sunday, but that's up in the air as well. Games could be on Monday is a rumor that's going around too. But we have one half of the bracket. We will start in the Western Conference. Sorry, we'll start with the bracket that is complete in the Eastern Conference. And that is, we'll start with the Metro, where the teams we're not so familiar with or care too much. Which one of these two series will be our short series that will be done very, very quickly?
I'm
I
kind of
got
bullish
both
on
being done
your
in
hands.
five.
In five, yeah.
In five for both, so.
Who are you going with, New York and Washington?
I got the Rangers, and then I got Carolina over the Islanders.
That's fair. I would have said the same. Maybe not in five. I was actually thinking the Hurricanes in four. I'd be shocked if crazier things have happened, but I'm not sure if the Islanders are going to win a single game. But hey,
Hey, I
sure.
always give it the one chance at home. You get one game at
Fair.
home,
A
and then you
gimme.
lose game five, so.
I look at the Islanders of how they've played since Patrick Waugh took over. And in reality, they've cleaned up a fair amount of their game, and they were able to push their way into third into the Metro. So I'm going to be honest. I think Sorokin's got his confidence back. He's got a little bit more of a decent core in front of him that will help out a little bit better. I think Sorokin steals a couple games for the Islanders at home in the first two games, but I think ultimately Carolina takes it in six. In Washington, you got to know Ovechkin's going to try and light up for a few games. With the way Washington has also come on strong, even though they didn't have to make a coaching change, they still came on strong late in the season. And you always see those teams that nobody gives a chance, but you got to remember they make a late run. I'm still going to say the Rangers because it's ultimately going to come down to their goaltending. I say the Rangers in six.
Yeah,
Yeah, I would agree with Rangers in six.
I'm gonna say Rangers in four, because essentially Washington has been playing playoff hockey for 2.5, 3 weeks, and historically teams that have to start that battle early just run out of gas, especially when you're playing against the President's Trophy winning team. Now, would I be happy if we see, even a smeltering, if it's 2-2 after four games? I would love that, because that's the best thing about hockey, is it's the most competitive and it's the most equal playoff imaginable in any of the sports. Anything can happen. It's not, uncommon. The most amount of eight seeds being in one seed has happened in hockey, and it's so. And fans just love it. It's so good for the fanship, and anything can happen. Just because you got the last playoff spot, doesn't matter. On the last day, doesn't matter. You still have as much of a chance. But I think Washington is gonna. There, something's gonna happen in game one, and it's gonna be like a wake up moment. Be like, oh shit! Like, like in Mighty Ducks, where they're sitting on the bench and they're like, "Oh, they're so much faster. They're strong." They're... I think that's going to happen to Washington, unfortunately. I can see the Carolina. I can see Patrick Waugh just angry face into a win. But I don't see the Islanders beating Carolina.
Yeah, that
So
would be the biggest shock, I think, from the
it
Metro.
would be. Oh, yes. That is our first game, I'm going to assume, on Saturday. Although I don't know. The scheduling is way out the window. So 5 o'clock Eastern time is Carolina and the Islanders, and the Rangers Capital, as of right now, finish up Sunday starting at 3 p.m. The next matchup we'll talk about, they thankfully start at 12:30 Eastern. It's the Senior Bowl between Florida and Tampa. All those retirees got to get home for their afternoon nap on Sunday. What are we thinking for the Florida state rivalry?
First thing I'll say is it's almost like they don't want me to watch these games. It's so hard for me to watch a game during the day. I'm like, you bastards, like a matinee on a Sunday. Not that I go to church or anything, because that's not me, but anyone with a family can attest this is not easy to watch a game at 12:30 p.m. Sorry, Sean, go ahead.
I'll just say I might be the only one who has this matchup going this way. But I got Tampa, and I got Tampa in seven.
Interesting.
And I'll tell you why I have Tampa in seven. You never bet against Tampa in the playoffs. I know Toronto upset them last year, but it took overtime in game seven.
Six.
Was it six? Okay, so I thought it was seven.
I'm scarred by game seven, so that one
Yeah,
was like, oh,
I
ah,
just a long time ago. But either way, you just never bet against Tampa, and what Kucherov did this year, I wouldn't be shocked if he continues that performance throughout the playoffs. So I got Tampa in seven.
Hey, your lips to God's ears, man. I would love that. I would love any game seven in that series would be amazing. Just literally beat the shit out of each other. I would love to see that. I'm obviously very biased, but yeah, I wouldn't bet against Point, against Stamkos in his contract year. He's killing it. And of course, Kucherov and Vasilevsky. Like, I mean, come on. There's not that many people that are kept awake at night as much as Leafs fans when we're talking about Tampa Bay. Their defense is always amazing. Obviously, Hedman leads the pack. I think everyone will be bullish on Florida because what they did last year, and they've had a great year as well. You can't finish second without having a great year. But I hope you're right. I'm not sure. I had Florida in seven. Seven again, because I really, really want them to just completely annihilate each other. But hey, it really could go either way. We'll see what kind of Bobrovsky we get this year. That one's flip a coin, so could easily go Tampa.
I'm sitting heavy on this one because I feel like just with we talk about playoff rivalry and we talk about the hatred is with the rivalry with the playoffs. Tampa and Florida, like there is a rivalry there. The teams hate each other. I know it's not shown much, but they do hate each other. Now, Tampa, normally I would say Tampa Bay, but I'm going Florida in seven, and here's why. Last year, Vasilevsky struggled in that series with Toronto. Had he been the Vasilevsky of old, Toronto would not have won that playoff series. Vasilevsky was hurt this year. He's come back, and I don't think he's been the same. It seems like Bobrovsky's found his little more confidence in the net, getting pushed a little bit more last year with Alex Lyon. You got a young Spencer Knight too. I just feel like Florida has options in the crease. And last year they used those options pretty good to get the run to the cup final. Matthew Tkachuk is going to be a pain in the butt. Sam Bennett, all those guys. And it's just going to be it's just going to be an absolute war to play against Florida. And honestly, I just look at that. Florida's built for playoff hockey. They showed last year. I don't feel like that was a fluke last year with how Tkachuk played. Had Tkachuk and them been able to stay healthier down the stretch, Florida might have won their first Stanley Cup over Vegas. And we would be talking about Florida as the defending champions. I feel like Florida has something there and they've added more to it and they brought it into this year. So Tampa Bay is going to give them a run because you never want to get beat down by your state rivals. You want it's going to be a bloodbath back and forth, but I'm saying Florida in seven.
Jeez, I was coming into this conversation with Florida, and then y'all started to talk about Tampa, and I started to be like, oh, well, was Florida just a blip in the pan? Tampa's proven that they're just constantly there. You almost had me switch, but I'm gonna stay with Florida. I had Florida in six. If it's Florida in seven, I'm not gonna be shocked. Because I think this is the turn. As scary as it is, and we've been saying it for years with the Penguins, but I think this is the we're starting to see the tail end of Tampa's kind of reign, and they're gonna have to soon make tough decisions, just like Pittsburgh, of what to do.
They'll do that
Not.
after they win, though, man. They're all still here for the playoffs. They can make those decisions in the summer. Kucherov's not going anywhere. Stamkos ain't going anywhere. Point's not going
Oh,
anywhere.
I don't mean
Hedman's
like
not
going
going
anywhere, but
anywhere. Not
like
for the next few weeks, at least.
there are going to be conversations in the coming years, and I think this is going to be the point where we see that start. Just like Pittsburgh, where they've started to be like, oh, never was there a conversation of should they trade Sidney Crosby until, this year was the loudest. And he just went like, all right, I'm gonna show you I'm, the best there ever is, there ever was, there ever will be. And that stopped
Oh, Bret Hart
that
reference.
and that stopped that real quick. And now no one's being like, oh wow, yeah, Sidney Crosby can come back anytime. Like, he's welcome. So I see it as this is the beginning of the end of the Lightning. And it's not the beginning of the end of the London Knights, that's for sure, as they sweep
Yes,
and
we did just sweep away those Rangers.
Yep, just
Ottawa
swept away the Rangers.
Ottawa
And
was
as I
swept as
was
well,
talking,
and
I could see.
North Bay won. So what's not going to be funny is if the last series on the eastern side gets swept, but an old friend has come back. I think we all remember where we were on that fateful day
It
in
was
May.
4-1. Yeah.
13th, 2020 or 2013.
2013. I
Why
was
must
at
you
my
remind me of the worst day of my life? You know?
I
It
was at
was
my
pain. I
grad
still can't watch the
formal.
highlights.
I was at my grad formal, and the next morning I was driving back from university back to Ottawa, and everyone was kind of checking their phones, and it started to turn into something. So they literally wheeled, just like in elementary school, a projector and a pop-up screen and put the game on, and everyone stopped celebrating the grad formal, and we watched what eventually happened. And that was in rural Nova Scotia. So That just shows you the impact that that game had. It's one of those moments. Alvaro, what's how you feeling? How you
I'm tired. I mean, but in general, a little bloated, whatever. To be fair, for Nova Scotia, rural or otherwise, a lot of these fans are.
There are
I
a lot of
mean,
Bruins
Maritimes in
fans as well,
general.
so it's
Yeah, because of Marchie, right?
yeah.
The Rat King. This is, weirdly enough, probably the best case scenario, at least from my perspective, for the Leafs as far as a matchup goes, having the Florida teams face off against each other, let them, have their way with one another, and then finally try to slay the dragon that has arguably been the boogeyman for the longest time in recent memory for all of the failures that have existed from the Burke era onward, as far as Leafs success or lack thereof in the playoffs. So why not go back, take it back in a retro way, throw it back to an original six rivalry with the Bruins that have not once that was the first one. That was the 4-1, comeback game in the Kessel era. There have been other game sevens with the Bruins since under the Matthews era, so to speak. So it's not just the one, and Morgan Rielly's the only stay over from that from both of those. I think it's time. If it's going to happen with this core, it'll have to be this year because they won't come back. And it's not me being hyperbolic. The Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment brass has said that if there is another collapse this year, another disappointing first round exit, any version of a first round exit, to be clear, will be disappointing. There will be major shakeups, and there's no way that a coaching change will be enough. They got away super easy with the Dubas, whatever happened with that weird situation last summer, and the core remained intact. Much to my chagrin, I didn't think they should have, but that's a different topic. I'm taking Toronto not in seven because I'm not a masochist. I'm going to say in six. I'm very, very much open-minded enough to know that this is, I'm not like bullish on this. This is me being emotional and fandom and completely aware of the situation, playing against Ullmark and Swayman as that kind of two-headed monster makes me very uncomfortable. You can't tell, but my voice is starting to quiver. I wouldn't be surprised if Toronto got eliminated in five, but my inner blue lens Toronto bubble fan cannot for the life of me say that any other team will win. So I'm saying Toronto in six. Sorry, very long-winded. Anyone else?
So
Please start
you're
speaking.
saying the Leafs are going to do something they have not done since 1959. They won a
Yeah, and
Stanley
I was a
Cup
young chap in 59, so
before,
yeah.
since they last beat the Bruins in the
We were due. Yeah,
playoffs.
I'm trying to, yeah, I'm going with
Yeah.
that.
But no, I'll say I'm actually with you though. I do have the Leafs winning. As much as that pains me to say, being a Sabres fan myself, I do have the Leafs winning. I mean, saying I'm a Sabres fan, that's painful enough. So, like, saying the Leafs are going to win just adds more to the wound. But I have the Leafs winning. I think the core will do it again. They'll get by the first round. I have them winning in seven, though. And you know what? Just to make your heart rate rise a little bit more, I'm gonna say it's gonna be an overtime game seven.
The palpitations. Oh my goodness.
Okay. I don't know what Kool-Aid you guys have been drinking, but
Good. It's good stuff.
I'm just gonna give a little dose of what I feel is reality here. So let's be truthful. like you said, the Leafs haven't beaten the Bruins in the playoffs since 1959. Six straight series losses to them, I think, is the number. And I look at this matchup up front, I say Toronto has the edge more in terms of the offensive talent per se with Matthews, Marner, Nylander, Core than what Boston has. Defensively, I'm going to give the edge to the Bruins because they have a more solid defensive unit. Where Toronto, I haven't really seen much from them, and especially of late, down late in the season, with giving up at least 5 goals a game in your last 4 games, all losses, not a good run to go into the playoffs on. And goaltending. You've got the ultimate duo with Swayman and Ullmark, where you could pencil either guy in and they can win you a game. Whereas the Leafs, oh, their goaltending has been documented this year. Joseph Woll, unfortunately, hurt. Ilya Samsonov, now he has played better overall since being recalled, but there was at one point he was down in the minors. And then you have Martin Jones, who was basically the reason why Toronto's in the playoffs, because he really saved their season in a critical point with Woll down and Samsonov struggling. But then just as luckily Samsonov was regaining his confidence and could go back in because Jones struggled.
Right.
And I look at the regular season matchup between these two teams. 4 times they played, Boston won every single game. And it seemed like every single game was a playoff style type of game between the Leafs and the Bruins. And Boston is built for the playoffs. And I feel like they will learn from last year that instead of riding Ullmark the whole time, had they switched to Swayman earlier, they might have won that series against Florida. I will turn and say that I think they made the switch to Swayman too late. They almost won game seven in overtime, or game seven as well. They lost in overtime. So I'm going to say the Leafs are going to win a game because they'll steal a game at home. But truthfully, and that's me being nice. Sorry to Leaf fans, I'm being nice. I will say you will win one game so you do not get swept on home ice.
Tell me you don't hate the Leafs without telling me you don't hate the Leafs.
Pretty well. But in reality, I think Boston wins this in five. They just have the better goaltending, the better defense, and in reality, they have more timely goal scoring. Yes, Matthews almost hit 70 goals this year, but you're playing against the same guys almost every night for a week or two straight. And unfortunately, it seems like Matthews and Marner and somewhat Nylander, and outside of last year in the first round, Tavares, they tend to disappear in these games. History
I
has
would fight
shown
back on
over.
Nylander. Nylander has been a consistent playoff performer.
Okay.
I can totally agree with almost everything else that you've said because, like I said, my inner fandom is not letting me say that the Bruins will win, but I'm very aware that it's a real possibility.
So,
But
but in terms of
Nylander.
Marner and Matthews, they seem to disappear for the most part in the playoffs.
Unfortunately, that has happened, yeah.
I will give you Nylander. I was maybe, I just, you can't have one or two guys carry you. And the depth, I got to give the Bruins edge on depth. I don't feel Toronto has that depth.
Can you name more than three Bruin forwards talking about their depth?
James Van Riemsdyk,
Fourth
that's
liner.
painful.
Doesn't really do much. Fourth liner doesn't really do much. I don't know why I'm defending the Leafs here, but I'm with you all. Like, I don't know why I'm doing this, but can you name more than three?
Well, but that's the thing. They just go about their business quietly. They're not on the ice to score goals. They're on the ice to shut down the top players on the other team. And Yeah, what how many goals did Matthews have against the Bruins this year? How many points did Marner, Nylander, and them have against the Bruins? It seemed like when the Leafs played the Bruins and they had to play those low scoring games, again, Toronto lost every single game against them. So
Yeah, they
I'm going to
did.
say,
Two in overtime, two in regulation.
yeah.
Again, I'm very well aware that the chances are that the Leafs don't make it past the second round, past the first round, which is why I started by saying there will be blood, there will be changes if this happens again. Maybe
But
inevitable, maybe not. But to Sean's point, Charlie Coyle, Pavel Zacha, obviously Marchand, obviously Pasternak. Outside of the two names I just mentioned, don't really strike fear into me.
Boston doesn't
DeBrusque.
play put up well when he's in the lineup. Actually, he's a guy that barely gets in the lineup. But truthfully, Boston doesn't play to put up those 6-5, 8-6 type of games. They play those 3-2, 2-1, very close, very locked down defensively style games. And they have the that's why their goalies make the saves that need to be made.
Except in the
Yeah, but I
playoffs.
mean,
They
in
do
terms
not
of
have
depth.
good playoff success with those goalies. They showed last year. And I'm just like, I don't want to keep defending the Leafs, but like this Boston team, like they're I don't want to say they're not good because they're in the playoffs, but like they're not as good as their record really indicates, in my opinion. They like if they fall behind. Like, say Matthews gets a goal early. They don't have to go chase a game. And Boston's not built to do that. They have to get the first goal. Toronto's depth is better than Boston's depth. You got three lines with at least two guys that can produce offensively. If you split up, like you put Marner with Matthews, Nylander with Tavares. Say Knies and Domi on your third line. Like, that's three lines that can produce. I'm not saying they're going
Actually,
to, but I'm just saying they can.
Domi and Matthews with Bertuzzi have been playing really well. So that's because Marner's been
Yep.
injured, so he
Yes.
hasn't even been an option. And when he joined the team again in the last few games, he wasn't playing on Matthews' wing until Domi got injured
Yeah.
or
And
got into a
I'll be
scratch when he
truthful.
hurt himself.
But I'll be truthful too. Like, okay, so that's if the Leafs get out to a goal, but or early lead. I'll say that, and that's where I've said they'll might steal. That's where they'll probably steal a game is by getting the jump on Boston, likely at home. But I don't feel like Toronto doesn't play the same way that Florida does. And I think that's what caught Boston off guard last year was that when the games get really tough and Toronto's backs are up against the wall, in elimination games, Toronto hasn't won an elimination game since 2004. In a game or they seldomly won. Oh yeah, 2018, I think it was, they won maybe one or two late in the year or with their backs up against the wall. But they don't really win that big game often. And even in 2019, they had a chance to close out the Bruins twice, failed. So I just and the for
Different
Boston.
Bruins team though, man. They had Chara and Bergeron back then.
Yeah, but again, Marchand has stepped up this year and taken over that team. Everybody thought about how much Boston was going to fall off and thought they were going to be in that wild card spot for this year. And they still play better. And they added at the deadline. You've got a guy that has won three Stanley Cups in a row in Patrick Maroon, who has playoff experience. Marchand's won a Stanley Cup as well, been to a final in 2019, ironically losing to Maroon. So I wonder if there's a little joking in the locker room going on there between those guys. But point aside, I don't feel like Toronto. I have too many question marks about them, especially with the way the season went. And to me, Boston just went quietly about their business. And the games where the two teams played each other, and they were probably physical games from what I saw. I remember one of the first ones being fairly physical. Toronto, outside of Bertuzzi and Domi, Toronto doesn't really have a lot of guys that play physically. Marner doesn't play physically. Matthews doesn't play physically. Nylander doesn't play physically. They did add a few D guys, but again, can they handle those top 4 minutes in that lineup? It seems like Toronto's defense was who do we feel gives us the best chance to win tonight? There's too many question marks I have there.
I mean, I know he only plays 3 minutes a night, which Alvaro will back me on. But Ryan Reeves does play for Toronto, right?
Yeah, but see, Boston, see. Reeves is more effective when he's throwing fists. And I feel like in those, Reeves played against the Bruins this year too, and he wasn't really that effective.
Wasn't the playoffs, though.
Not in what he
Playoffs is just a
brings.
different game.
Yeah, so if we say historically the Leafs in recent years at least haven't played like a playoff team like you would want, like the Floridas, the Bostons, I think the three players that we just named, Bertuzzi, Domi, Reeves, have shown, and I would add McCabe on defense, have shown that they want to change that tune. We haven't seen it yet, so there's no track record to speak of playoff wise, right? We're not talking about the
No.
regular season. That's my hope, is that does change. Reeves doesn't play a game that's going to impact the offensive zone or the defensive zone, hopefully, because his impact is always negative.
Yeah.
But the idea is that he tries to get under players' skin, which pretty easy to do with a guy like Marchand, if he's
But
even on the same ice as him ever in the game, which unlikely, right? But
the way I see Marchand play is he'll kind of toe that line, but he won't do he doesn't do he's not like a Nazem Kadri where he'll do something stupid that'll get him kicked out and suspended. And I'm not saying that from when Kadri was just on Leafs. There was also an
yeah,
incident in
the
Colorado.
Avalanche.
So there's
To that, I
just
would
the
say Marchand does do things like that, but he never actually faces consequences.
yeah.
To his
But
credit, he has stopped licking people. That's fair.
again, like that, like it wasn't blatantly over the line like a Kadri. I just feel like, Boston still has a chip, I think has a chip on their shoulder from last year to prove that, you know what, they let a good opportunity slip away with Florida. And that's what's been grinding them up all year. Toronto, they finally got the monkey off their back last year, winning a playoff series. But then they turned around to face that same Florida team and ultimately choked in five. And I just look at the way that they played the Bruins this year. And again, like you couldn't squeeze out a win. And it seemed like no matter what, you couldn't squeeze out a win this year against them. So that's why I'm saying Boston in five, because I feel like Boston in reality is the better of the two teams.
Fair enough.
Sorry I went on long there, but I just have this feeling that like you can't bet against Boston in this matchup. I don't see it. And I for you guys, I hope I'm wrong.
Especially Sean, because he's clearly bleeding blue and white for the purpose of this show.
I got so many coworkers I work with that are Leafs fans and they got a soft spot for the Sabres, so for this argument, I'll have a soft spot for the Leafs. I don't know why I do it. Actually, I
Well,
do know why.
that
I don't like the team, but I do like half of their players. So I'm more rooting for the individual players as opposed to the team.
we got a Timothy Liljegren fan right here.
Glad
You know, I
to
actually
come to
don't
the
mind Liljegren, not gonna
podcast.
lie.
The hard-hitting expose that we give here. I'm going to be short and sweet. It never in my life can I say that the Leafs are going to win. It's the contract I signed as being a Sens fan and the pain that they put me through in my adolescence. So even if they are President's Choice winning team, I will never, never pick them. It's going to go six or seven. I don't know if Leaf fans can take seven, but the amount of content that will be created on the internet, if it does go to seven, will keep me occupied and entertained for hours. So it's okay. Alvaro already knew what I was going to say, so I'm not going to lose a friendship. But
Friendship. What does that even mean?
we were always very civil when we go to games together. So we're still alive. So
Yeah, only
that's
two
the key.
fights, if I remember
Only
correctly.
two, yeah. We have photographic evidence, so it's fine.
Absolutely. Just remind me of those adolescent painful memories of yours. How many games did the Leafs beat the Senators in the regular season, roughly, ballpark? Not very many, right? One season where they were swept. And they used to play
Yeah.
more than four games.
And they yeah.
Just
Oh my
saying,
God, that
can
was
be
a
done.
time where it
Yeah,
can be
the action
done.
years.
Go to
Anyway, off my
Alexi.
soapbox.
Let's head over to the West Division, which is not set in stone just yet, but we will talk about the matchups that we do know that are happening. So the Dallas Stars took first overall in the West, and they will be playing either the Vegas Golden Knights or the Los Angeles Kings. Are either of them going to be a challenge? I know some of us think that one is a lot scarier than the other, but for Dallas's sake, obviously, I think we all think who is like the better of the matchups for Dallas as like not as challenging. What route do you think Dallas wants to take in their first round matchup?
Well, I'll just go. So, in my opinion, Dallas is the best team from top to bottom, offense, defense, goaltending, depth. They want Los Angeles because, in my opinion, Vegas is the scariest team to play in the playoffs. If they get one, Mark Stone's going to be healthy game one. They circumvented the cap yet again. They are going to be loaded up front, and they're big, they're nasty, they're the defending champions. I do not want to play Vegas. Whoever I am in the Western Conference, the other seven teams want to stay clear of Vegas. Obviously, someone will have to play them, but no one wants to. So Dallas wants LA, and if they get LA, I have Dallas winning in five. If Dallas ends up with Vegas, I have Vegas winning in seven.
Yeah, it's interesting how things will play out, eh? I don't know if anyone here would be willing to say that LA would be able to take on Dallas. I don't know if LA could take on really any team. They're either playing Dallas or Edmonton. And I'm not a Edmonton homer by any means, but I mean, realistically, they have a quite a hill to climb to try to get into the second round. So,
It's not the LA team of like 2 years ago.
Yeah, that's fair. But it's also McDavid and Draisaitl. And is Evander Kane playing tonight? I guess we'll find out soon. The ever so popular r locker room cancer that he is. I don't see Edmonton not making it through if they play LA in particular. But I think Dallas obviously would prefer LA. There is no question. If Dallas plays Las Vegas, that one could go almost either way. It's really frustrating that we keep, thinking the same thing when we talk about Vegas. Like, they can't keep getting away with it. Yeah, they clearly can. Adding Thomas Hurdle at the deadline, like at the last minute, like at the literal deadline, it was like a steal. They're the defending champs for a reason. So if Dallas plays Vegas, I don't think Dallas makes it through, unfortunately. And I would agree that they're one of, maybe in the top two, these two teams in particular, best built teams for the playoffs. Dallas and Vegas, that is. But because Vegas has been able to, all of a sudden, Stone is healthy, and also didn't Hurdle just come back from injury,
He did,
like
yes.
magically? So like, what a convenience, right? But that's a different discussion. I think
Conspiracy.
Vegas. Yeah, I'm a flat earther when it comes to this NHL stuff. But yeah, if it's Vegas, Dallas, it's for me probably Vegas in six or seven.
So, with Dallas, yes, they're the best team in the Western Conference seeding wise, the top team. If they do get the Kings, I am going to say Dallas and probably say Dallas in four. I don't feel like LA is really going to be able to hang with them. So I will say if it's Dallas and LA, it's Dallas in four. If it's Dallas and Vegas, I'm going to see, I got to go with Vegas in seven because, like you guys said, Vegas is getting healthy bodies coming back. And yes, it's going to put them over the cap and all that. And now that debate, should the salary cap be in effect come the playoffs? But that's a discussion for another day. Vegas is getting healthier at the right time. So they're getting reinforcements coming in. They know the run that they went on last year. They're back in this year. It's tough to do it twice in a row because everybody also is going to be taking Vegas more seriously now because they're like, okay, you've won your cup. So it just depends on how that last seed works out. But for Dallas, they want LA.
This might be a hot take. I don't know. Vegas, I think Vegas would do better and wants to play Dallas. Top cheese, they know what they have and get rid of a tough opponent right off the bat and show what you're all about. Vegas has not done well against Edmonton this year already. And I know we just went through the whole, like, oh, regular season doesn't matter. But when you can beat Vegas, now, obviously, Mark Stone wasn't there, blah, blah, blah. But if Edmonton without McDavid can beat Vegas 5-1 just a few weeks ago, the feeling is in the fandom that Edmonton is not scared of Vegas like they have been the past 2 years. Because they've been that wall that they can't get over. So I think Vegas would like to play Dallas. LA would like to not play either of them, but they don't have a choice. It's kind of a double-sided coin for LA. You either go against the top team in the West, or you go against a team that is
They almost didn't make it.
fourth. You go against a team that you've had to deal with the past few years and are just annoying, and you've egressed from 2 years ago where you almost beat them in a surprise playoffs. So I think either way, Edmonton will be okay. Obviously Dallas would like the easier route to the second round and play LA. So if Dallas plays the Kings, I think it's a sweep. If Vegas plays Dallas, I see it going seven, and I see those well-rested bodies really coming into their own in game seven. And Dallas doesn't have that luxury of having really strong, well-rested players. Especially in a seven-game series.
Yeah, it'll be a grind. That series, if it goes Dallas Vegas, will be one of the most exciting series. Unfortunately, probably won't get to watch most of the games because I sleep early.
But that's the kind of the, your first place team or a team really strong, you get in a grind series, that's when you get into trouble. And even if you are successful, how many of those teams go on to just lose in five the next round because you're just so battered after being the leader of the conference and then going through hell in round one? You got to do it again and then again and then again, and you're expected to. That's when really, strong teams in the regular season, that's when they just crumble. And teams that play those teams afterwards thank the other teams for giving them such a hard battle, because to them, it's going to be much easier than what they could have faced if it was a short series. So I think Dallas is hoping for the easiest way possible, because there are holes in their team, and I think that big hole is a long drawn out series that started off.
I like your prison rules theory with
They
Vegas. Go after the big dog and scare everyone else.
seem like the type of team that likes to do that. So I mean,
Yeah.
they were it made them champions last year. Why stop it?
I mean, really, that's how they came into the league. Go back all the way
Right?
to the
Like, yeah.
expansion. They just ran the show.
Yeah, they gave Bettman a lot of money and they were able to run the show. It's just
Yeah. And
we
somehow
speak
Florida's
truth
still
here.
good.
Yeah.
It's crazy that Florida's still good and they gave up like what was it, two really good players, maybe three, Marchessault and Smith.
Now the other two series that are already decided. I know I said we'd start with the series that are decided, but went a different route. Vancouver will play Nashville. I think this is the best case scenario for Vancouver, to get back into the playoffs with a very inexperienced team. Nashville can be tricky. They're no small task, but what do you guys think? Was this the preferred matchup for Vancouver, going into the playoff appearance for the first time in a long time?
I think pretty well without question, right? And what a year that JT Miller had after him being chosen over Horvat the year before, and all the ill feelings that the fans had, rightfully so to a certain degree. He proved everyone wrong and has really come out strong. And good for them for getting Pettersson done during the season. That wasn't technically supposed to happen based on what he was saying, that he wasn't going to negotiate during the season. So at least they got that distraction out of the way too. I think this is definitely the best case scenario for Vancouver. And what a strong season they've had that pretty well, I mean, I know I for sure would not have called it at the beginning of the season. I could see this maybe going to five games, probably not more than that.
I got Vancouver in six. And I'd actually say Vancouver's preferred matchup would probably have been LA over Nashville. Nashville does have guys who have won. Like, they got O'Reilly. Josi's been there. Saros has been there. They didn't win. They came up short, but they were there. And you talk about Miller and the season he had. How about the season Josi had on the back
Yeah.
end? Right. Probably want to win the Norris, because Quinn Hughes is going to win the Norris. So you got two of the best defensemen going head to head in this series. Nashville is no slouch ever since the U2 Sphere debacle, when
Yeah.
their trip got canceled on them. They went on an amazing run. I think Nashville is going to put up a fight, but I think Vancouver will prevail in six.
So, this side of the bracket, I didn't really obviously get a chance to really look into like I did the other side, because everything as we still stand right now is still being fine-tuned. Part of me, like, Nashville last year just missed out on the playoffs. I don't think they've been really much of the same since 2018, 2019, where they've had some kind of big piece changes, a little bit of a new core. Yes, like you said, O'Reilly's won before with St. Louis in 2019 after. Sorry, Sean, getting dealt out of Buffalo the previous summer.
Yeah.
It's okay. You leave Buffalo, you win the cup the next year. It's okay.
Yeah, that's true. Saros, he hasn't shown up to be that. He's not the, yes, he was is the heir apparent to Pekka Rinne, but in reality, Saros doesn't have the same team in front of him really that Pekka Rinne did. I'm going to say Vancouver in six because I think Saros will be able to steal a couple games, much like I do think Sorokin will be able to do over in the Eastern Conference with the Islanders. I think Saros will steal a couple games, but I think Nashville's still in that retooling phase where they're bringing in the young guys. They got some some good young pieces, sorry, as a former Knight and Luke Evangelista is definitely slowly making his mark there. He's kind of making himself known. And they got a good veteran youth mix, but I really just don't feel like they have that playoff drive. Yes, they've done well since the U2 concert thing got canceled, but that was their push to get to the playoffs because the way that they were playing beforehand. They were going to be like last year, be lucky just to make it in. So I'm going to say Vancouver in six.
I think we all pretty well agree. We're all pretty aligned on that. And just a good question for all of you. How many of these Predators are big U2 fans? Like, I don't know anyone in their 20s that could name even more than two songs from the band. So I was really curious how this whole debacle kind of rallied, they got them all to rally behind the teammates.
I think they
I'm
just want to
with
go in
you.
the sphere.
Yeah,
I
I think
think
it's
it was
just the
the sphere.
experience.
Yeah, the team building.
No, U2 is definitely of a generation, and that is not ours. Who are current? I mean,
Right?
those
It's not
people
even
are
ours.
currently playing hockey. So,
Imagine the younger ones, right? We're all in our 30s, I assume. We're talking about like 20-year-olds now, unless we're talking Luke Shen and Ryan O'Reilly, the older guys, but.
no, I think as much as Vancouver is inexperienced, I just think that they've been strong all year, although not so hot as they were the first half of the year. But you still gotta have a little bit of a soft spot for a Canadian team that has shown rehabilitation and moved up. And yeah, Nashville's not the Nashville that we remember Nashville as, so.
Yeah.
I think
They're
six
not
is an
quite as
appropriate
bad anymore.
amount. And finally, the matchup that Alan has been waiting to hear. I think it's pretty safe to say, Alan, you're thinking Colorado in four. That's the vibe we've been getting all night. But no, you being a Winnipeg fan, are you nervous? Colorado didn't seem like the old Colorado, but suddenly they just flipped a switch and became, really competitive and really scary all of a sudden. What are your thoughts going into this very hotly contested and competitive matchup?
Normally, from the outset, I would be a little bit like, oh, great, we got Colorado. I'm a little more confident this year with that because, first of all, this is the one Western Conference matchup I did get a chance to break down before tonight's show because it was the one matchup that was already being decided. So Winnipeg won all three games against Colorado that they played this year. And the latest one in recent weeks where home ice was on the line between the two after both realized after both saw that Dallas wasn't going to be much to be able to catch, the fight to have home ice Winnipeg slacked Colorado 7-0. And I have a buddy that's a Colorado fan. You know, him and I are going to be going at each other a little bit this series because we're going to have a little bit of fun. And even he said he's not really that confident with Colorado in this first round series with Winnipeg, especially with how the last game was. Up front, I think like they're neck and neck. I give the edge to Colorado up front with Nathan MacKinnon and the forward group that they have there. Though Winnipeg did shore up with the deadline stuff, Sean Monahan, Tyler Toffoli, and they've got some good pieces. But I do just, MacKinnon's on another level that it's going to be tough to contain. Defensively, I feel like, I don't know if it's maybe a product of being too rich, but with Bowen Byram being dealt to Buffalo in exchange for Casey Mittelstadt, I don't know how much that affects Colorado's defense in the playoff run, as Sean gives me a two thumbs up that he loves that move. So Colorado, I don't know about fully their defense like it was beforehand. Obviously, you have the threat of Cale Makar on the back end, but Winnipeg has Josh Morrissey. They have some other guys that still play fairly well. So it's really a toss-up. But where the playoffs can be really won is goaltending. And what does it come down to? Goaltending. Because ultimately, you got to keep the puck out of your net. And truthfully, landslide, Winnipeg has the better goaltending with Connor Hellebuyck. Connor Hellebuyck, who I was wondering going into this year, would he be traded along with Mark Scheifele at around the deadline? Because it seemed like there was going to be a change with the Winnipeg core. The team not only extended him, but Hellebuyck has returned to almost that Vezina caliber type of goaltender that he was. If anything, I think he should still be in the line for the Vezina. I think he's been that good. So, and he has had playoff success before. He has led the team to the conference finals in 2018. And I definitely feel like he is going to be a key for them in net. Last year against Vegas, like, this, I feel like this is a new team, even though they just made a few tweaks with this Winnipeg roster. And this is where I think home ice will come into play. And I'm going Jets in 7. Colorado is going to give us a run for their money. And I know it's going to be an emotional series, but I'm going with my Jets in 7.
Going 7 games is I mean, it's if it's tight, it's gonna be that tight. And it sounds, I mean, based on the expertise that I've just received from Alan being the local homer for the Winnipeg Jets, so to speak, I think it's fair to say that it's gonna be a tight series. It's hard to really say that a team with MacKinnon and Makar aren't going to make it through to the second round. There's a chance, but I have a hard time betting against that possibility. And yeah, that Cale Makar, Josh Morrissey. I love Josh Morrissey, and I'm a big Kyle Connor fan too, by the way. I don't see the comparison there. On top of it, Colorado also has Devon Taves. They have every reason that they traded Bowen Byram is because they had a really strong defensive core in the first place. And having secured that, where they were lacking in the middle ever since Nazem Kadri left, secured that with Casey Neistat, it was a good move for both teams. I know, Sean, you probably don't want to hear that necessarily. Casey wasn't going to re-sign for
Oh no,
most
I he
likely
played
anyway,
himself
so
out of Buffalo. I'm well aware of that.
I think it was a win-win for both teams, and one of the situations where a guy like Casey, he just needed a bit of a shift in terms of like his locale.
100%,
I think it worked
agree.
wonders for him, and I do think the Sean Monahan trade was amazing. And they got ahead of it instead of waiting till the deadline. I don't know why teams are so stubborn to wait all the way to the deadline when you have a pretty decent deal, or at least the structure of a decent deal in place ahead of time. Just, pull the trigger. But I have a hard time saying that it won't be Colorado, and I think Colorado in six.
Okay. Alan. As much as I want to say Winnipeg, like I really want to say Winnipeg. Like Hellebuck, like you said, he's the Vezina. He's like playoffs, defense and goaltending usually does win you the series. But how can you bet against MacKinnon? I know you're a Jets fan. But like MacKinnon is just on another level, and he's
That's why I'm saying seven, though. That's why I'm saying.
yeah. I like as much as I want to say Winnipeg, like I can't go against MacKinnon in Colorado because they've got MacKinnon and Makar. And don't forget Rantanen also. Like he's
Yeah,
no slouch
Rantanen,
either.
103 points.
Yeah, right. Like the Jets do have like Kyle Connor, Mark Scheifele. You know, Monahan and Toffoli as depth pieces. It is going to be
Nikolai
Ehlers. Yeah.
Namestnikov.
Yeah. Like
Love
it's
that
going to
guy.
be a. I think it's going to be a really fun series to watch. But I do have Colorado in six. As much as I want Winnipeg, there's just something about Colorado. I can't go against them. And I think they'll win it
Even
on home ice in six.
on the goaltending, that's where I feel it makes a difference. Normally, I would say Colorado, but Colorado
Hey,
doesn't have the goaltending that they used to.
yeah,
I know
Georgiev
Georgiev
hasn't
hasn't
been the
been
best, but
the best.
like he's no slouch though. Like yeah, goaltending, Winnipeg has the edge, and it's not even close. Not that Georgiev is bad, but like Hellebuck is just like the top tier.
Yeah.
Overall defense, I give the slight edge to Colorado simply because of what Makar is able to do. He can break out of the zone himself. He's a one-man breakout. So I give the slight edge to Colorado on defense. And then offensively, yeah, Winnipeg probably has a few more players, like a little better depth. I think the high-end talent outweighs that. And I think Colorado, especially what happened to them last year losing to Seattle in the first round. I think MacKinnon's going to be extra pissed off. And an angry MacKinnon is something you don't want to be on the other end for.
But also look at last year with the Jets, how pissed off like the management staff was with how their team performed, because and that's why they made the changes that they made with moving on from Pierre-Luc Dubois and Blake Wheeler.
Great trade, by the way. Getting rid of ELD. Great
Yeah.
trade.
And
No
by the way,
kidding.
actually glad actually that I did bring that up with that because I forgot about that. You have Gabe Vilardi. You
Yes.
have Alex Iafallo. So I do think I don't think like Colorado has the much better forwards than you guys are giving them credit for. I
No,
think
I said the
Drouin
high
had a
end. Like I think the MacKinnon as alone, it equals like three of the Winnipeg players, just because an angry MacKinnon is something you do not want to be on the other end for. And that man.
I feel like the Jets defense has kept him in check for the most part this year when they've played him. Because Winnipeg, like I said, Winnipeg won all three games. And especially late in the year, when you have home ice opportunity on the line in a game where that was jockeying for position, the winner had the inside edge ultimately, and then Winnipeg comes out and just absolutely railroads them in a big game. And really, what was a big game, what was supposed like was built up as pretty much a playoff game.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't Winnipeg on like a 4 or 5 game losing streak going into that weekend? And
Maybe they.
then they just had a good weekend.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's all you need sometimes. You You can get, you just need that one thing that clicks and gets going sometimes. But also sometimes it's that one thing that goes wrong that brings you up from here down to here.
And
So
sometimes you get your ass handed to you 7-0, and McKinnon's like, fuck you, that's not happening again. I'm gonna go bull rush you.
well, that's the thing. That's what's going to make this series exciting.
Oh yeah, I'm
Is
with you. It's gonna
yeah,
be a great
100%.
series.
To me, it's a coin flip, really. I don't feel like I feel like Winnipeg's goaltending between the pipes. Hellebuck, like they have their guy in Hellebuck. I'm not as sold on Georgiev in between the pipes. And ultimately, Hellebuck can steal you a game, if not more. And that's the thing that makes it good is Hellebuck can steal you a game. Georgiev hasn't shown that he can steal a game. So last year, what happened with Seattle? Like, yeah, McKinnon might be pissed off about that, but ultimately, you gotta keep the puck out of your net. If McKinnon's not burying like 2 points a game or a point a game, I'll say a point a game. That's going to be tough, and it's going to be depending on, and you don't, Winnipeg's not going to be sitting there and be like, okay, well, McKinnon's pissed off on a roll. We're screwed. No, they're going to go punch for punch. This is going to be just as good of a series as the Florida Tampa series. I will say that right now, that I'm going to make a bold prediction and say that this is going to be a good series, and this is going to develop into a really good rivalry.
I hope so. I hope that happens
I hope
because
that
these two
happens
teams,
too.
I mean,
Their
let's
divisional
not forget
opponent.
though, like Georgiev had a terrible season, but he has a pretty, like, aside from Makar and even Devontaeves, Josh Manson is not the kind of second line defenseman or top four, middle six, whatever you want to call it, you know, second pairing defenseman that you want to have your second line lining up against. You know, he's not his dad either, but he's, you know,
But
you don't
that's the
want to
thing.
be looking
You can make
against him.
arguments for both sides when you really look down at the roster and how their lineups match up. And I feel like with the way that they've gone head to head this year, like I would have thought Colorado would have taken two of three. Or and especially in a big game like they had where you're taking on a team that had lost, like, what did you say, Sean, four or five straight before that going in.
It was something like that, yeah.
Yeah, something like that. And then just to lay an egg, 7-0 on home ice. Let's not forget that part. This game was in Colorado on Colorado's ice. So
Yeah, that's the great part about hockey, right? It's what Justin said, like these series we can break it down and go player by player. Neil Pionk, Josh Manson, whatever, go down the roster, go down the depth chart. Almost anything could, it could be a sweep. And I'm not even saying which team it could be. It could be a sweep. Like literally anything could happen. I'm not saying Winnipeg doesn't have a chance. In fact, I would go as far as to say, even though I couldn't bring myself to say that the Leafs would lose, I think Winnipeg has a better chance at beating Colorado than Toronto has at beating Boston. That's how tight it can be. But
And
yeah,
that's where
I wouldn't want to face McKinnon and Rantanen and Makar. That's scary, man.
and I get that, but I also feel like we have a good enough team to go up against them. And that's why I'm saying it's gonna it's it that's why I'm saying this is gonna be a full distance series. And that's where I feel that home ice comes into advantage. And if anything, Hellebuck has proven he can steal games before, and he has had a fair amount of playoff success. Georgiev, I haven't seen that in the playoffs. He's been that big game goaltender. When you have a Vezina caliber goalie in Hellebuck, you have a fair amount of edge because you could give up 50 shots a game. And if your goalie's stopping everything, that's almost everything that's going at him, and you're putting and you're doing fairly good offensively, or even you just get one more by, your goalie steals you the game. So I feel like Hellebuck is going to be that guy that'll steal those games, and especially in front of Winnipeg on game seven, you bring it down to a one game winner take all. I say Winnipeg because again, that last change. So you can see your matchups more, how you like them.
I know the point you were trying to make, but if the Jets give up 50 shots a game, I don't care how good Hellebuck is, they don't have much of a chance to win. But I just want to say that. I know the point you were trying to make, and I'm with you. It'll be a good series. I just have Colorado. There's nothing wrong with, like, if Winnipeg wins, Winnipeg wins. I just have Colorado. Like, it could go either way. I just have Colorado.
I know. I just feel like keeps giving six games. It's like I'm keep thinking, okay, so you're gonna say Colorado's gonna hold serve on home ice all three times and steal a game in Winnipeg when they haven't beaten them yet when they lost all three games against them this year.
Why not?
Yeah, I guess I just don't put as much stock in the regular season matchups.
Yeah.
Because I know for a fact that the rules completely change in the playoffs. The rule book goes from being this thick to this. It's
Oh yeah, for sure, which is fair, but at the same but some of the same things still apply, like the last change matchups that can have that's where it's those razor thin points.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I like the Jets' chances, and like you're doing with the Leafs, I'm going with my Jets on this one. And
Yeah,
I'm
I don't
saying
blame you.
six because I
I definitely
know it's
don't
going to
blame
be a
you.
war.
I'm just saying it would I guess I would lose a lot of sleep having to face up against the Avalanche. More so than I would even have against the Golden Knights.
Hey man, I just want all four Canadian teams to win and a Canadian team to win the cup at the end of the year. So if it's Winnipeg, awesome.
Yeah, let's just hope for a Winnipeg Toronto finals, right?
I don't know
Justin's
if
like,
people
yeah, sure, totally.
I don't know if people are taking that one. I my thing is like Hellebuck is gonna have to steal games for Winnipeg. Is Does he have to steal four games? Does he have to steal three games? Does he like if it comes down to it and it's like it's been back and forth and game seven is the game he has to steal? I believe in that. I believe in him. If he has to steal games for them to win all four, I don't see that being a viable option for Winnipeg. They cannot sustain that.
Yeah,
In any
I
team, but when you have the best NHL goalie at the moment, if you expect that and that's your first round against a very strong Avalanche team, it's only going to get harder and you have to switch it up real quick because having your go making your goalie, shouldn't say having, making relying on your goalie to win you four games and steal four games is a tough ask.
I was just going to add in, sorry, Justin. I was just going to add in to your point. I'm not saying that it has to be Hellebuck has to steal four games for them to win. This is where I'm going to say Winnipeg, I think, has enough firepower to compete with Colorado, where Hellebuck doesn't have to stand on his head for four games just to steal games. Ultimately, it's going to come down to making the key saves, not how many saves you make. It's making the key saves. And Hellebuck's the guy that you can always rely on to make the key saves. Georgiev, again, in a big game, and I'm going to point out to 2 weeks ago where really it's a big game. I felt Colorado should have at least put up a better effort, if not won that game. And the fact that they didn't do that, and not only that, like they just laid an egg. That's where I have concerns. And especially down the stretch when these last games, yes, you know you're in the playoffs, but you're prepping for them. You're wanting to, coaches say you want to develop good habits. I just feel that it's going to come down to goaltending, and it's going to come down to the Jets having the better goalie. I think Winnipeg can compete with their forward group with Colorado. And defensively, I do like some of their names on defense. You got even some other guys like Logan Stanley, Dylan Sandberg, Brendan Dillon that are solid defensive guys that can keep McKinnon, Rantanen, and them in check.
DeMelo's still around.
Yeah, and DeMelo.
That's going to be the answer, is if you can contain Carr, McKinnon et al. And yeah, Hellebuck gives you the big saves when it's needed, then I think Winnipeg can be successful. But if Hellebuck makes the big saves, but you don't keep the crew in check, then I think that's a recipe for disaster. I'm also worried that a lot of Winnipeg fans are going to be like, "Ah, 7-0 last time against them. This is
Going
you're
to be a
certainly not like that."
walk in the park. Yeah.
But I know there are definitely Jets fans who are like, "Yeah, this is the matchup we wanted. Look, we are ready for them." Because the second the last whistle sounds on tonight's regular season games, it's a brand new season, and those points were made up and nothing matters.
Everything resets to zero.
Exactly. What's the score? 0-0. What's our record? 0-0. And that's the mindset. Well, let us know what you think. Are we crazy? Certainly, as the first round ends, let us know how wrong or right we were. Most of you are going to say how wrong we are. And don't forget, we have our episode 100 giveaway. Find our post on social media or email us, sportsandnightpodcast@gmail.com, with just all you need to do is let us know, what does sport mean to you? You will be entered into the draw for our giveaway of the Nevin sunglasses, courtesy of Nevin. Thank you so much. That being said, let us know how you are going to enjoy the playoffs as well. Is it outside on a patio? Although it snowed a few days ago here in Alberta, most of it's melted and grass is already green, but we had that kind of spring snowstorm. But by the weekend, it's going to be in the double digits positive. So for our American listeners, that's not quite as cold, but not warm, summer warm just yet. Everyone else, we don't have to do the conversion, except for our friends in Australia and New Zealand. It's fall now for you, so sorry, not sorry. It's our turn. Take a hike.
Does that mean they get Christmas soon?
Something like that. I think that's how it works. But let us know. We hope you enjoy the first round of the playoffs. Bundle up if you're watching outside at a watch party, or I'm sure most of Canada is in spring mode. I know Ontario's that. What is snow? Don't forget to
Oh,
change over your winter
we had
tires.
snow like 2 weeks ago here. We had
And
like
that
the
was two
last big
weeks ago.
snowfall.
Remember,
Yeah.
fast memory. You can't remember these things. New season, new zero
It's at
zero.
zero. Everything resets. Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us on this episode of the Sportsnet podcast. Stay safe and sport on.